Listen, you heard it here first. The Ohio State defensive line is going to be very good at football.
Yeah.
That's a snap judgment. It's brought to you by Byers Auto. That's not the whole show, though. Stick around. Bill Landis has more thoughts. I'm Austin Ward. Larry Johnson and Keenan Bailey on the microphone on a Tuesday after practice number 6 for Ohio State in spring camp. So, deepest, most talented, arguably. I guess we'll see. That has to be proven in the fall for the defensive line, Larry Johnson's group, but he's really, really optimistic about that. Conversely, if we're just comparing the coaches that we're talking, Keenan Bailey seems a little bit more uncertain about how the Buckeyes are going to replace Cade Stover and get that tight end group rolling again. So where should we begin? The good or the uncertain?
Probably start with the good, okay. I think. I mean, it's interesting to me that Larry Johnson is not, like, he didn't crown him, right? But he's not hesitant either to throw around some of those superlatives that you were talking about, which means a whole lot here because they've had some really good, really deep defensive lines. And he mentioned the 2017 group, which I think, like, collectively is still probably the best line they've had. Certainly they've had some individuals who have been really stellar players, but that group was terrorizing for much of that season. And I do think this group has that potential, right? It's about, again, the depth. What can they get behind the presumed top four of JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, Tyleik Williams, and Ty Hamilton? And Larry Johnson seems to feel really good about where they're at there. Like, you know, didn't kind of hesitate to throw Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry out there as, like, of course they're the backup ends, but, like, it wasn't like Jack and JT and then, like, we'll see if we can get Kenyatta and Caden. And it's like they're counting on those guys to play more, I think, than they did last year, and there seems to be a belief that they can. And even the tackles too, guys we have not seen a whole lot of. Larry seems to seem to like where that group is. I thought it was interesting, like, he it's probably too much to say that he singled someone out, because I think he was, you know, intentional about naming everyone when he was asked about the group, but mm-hmm. he did harp on Jason Moore a little bit. Called him the ideal three technique, said that there were some flashes last year, and, like, with any young player, like, it's slowed down for him now this spring, and they're seeing a lot from him, I think, and Larry said that he's making a little bit of a push, so that was probably the thing that caught my ear the most. Obviously interested in the young tackles generally, but which one maybe seems like they're playing the best right now, and maybe it's Jason Moore.
I know that you're like me, and that it may not mean everything in the world, but I'm going to write down the order of the names that people say them.
For sure.
Because that seems to be who's front of mind. So that was, on two occasions for Larry Johnson at defensive tackle, it was Jason Moore. And at defensive end, it was actually Caden Curry, yeah. And I thought it would be Kenyatta Jackson. Again, this is 6 practices in spring. There are months until Ohio State plays a game, but it would have felt like there was more momentum for Kenyatta Jackson to, like, be first. Again, we're making a big deal out of one comment in a press conference, or I'm making a big deal out of it, perhaps. But it obviously would be a good thing for Caden Curry if that's, we've been talking about his energy and his motor for 2 years now and finding a way for him to physically make an impact for Ohio State. So, you know, just in terms of a Tuesday morning in the Woody, being named first behind JT and Jack seems like a win for him, and not a negative for Kenyatta Jackson, who's right there behind, you know, with him.
Yeah, I think maybe the reason that Larry Johnson said that is because the talking point with Kenyatta Jackson, I think both for Ryan Day and also Larry Johnson today, was like, Kenyatta's got to be consistent. Like, it's like every single play, can you bring it? And I would imagine that Caden Curry doesn't struggle much with consistency. But Kenyatta probably, I think, fairly has more raw tools than Caden does. But in a situation where those young defensive linemen are playing a lot, which is, like Larry said, like, the ones aren't really playing that much. We're letting all these young guys play basically starter reps in spring ball to see what happens and see how they handle it. In that scenario, I probably would also assume that Caden Curry is the guy that shines a little more.
Yeah, and then Larry Johnson's just running through this list of defensive tackles. We got into that a little bit on the podcast daily and in the position previews. It's like there are legitimately 7 guys who can play in there. And Larry, it's like one that I was really curious about was Tywan Malone, and he didn't necessarily get lumped into that rotational group. Now, Larry talked about that later on. It's like a spring without baseball, that transition that we've alluded to coming from Ole Miss. Like, there's still an opportunity for that, but it still doesn't feel like Ohio State believes that is nearing the completion of that transition for him on the defensive tackle, at least not maybe in the same breath as Caden McDonald, Jason Moore, or Hiro Kanu.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, Larry, I think more than once said, like, you know, he was playing baseball. Like, he didn't play any football at all. Like, he was playing some football. He did play in games
right.
in the SEC. I guess he wasn't part of spring ball at Ole Miss, I'm assuming, when he was playing baseball. And that's a big thing to miss, right, when you're trying to develop and work on your techniques. And that's a word that Larry threw out when talking about Tywan Malone. So it feels like he's in a better spot now maybe than he was when he first got here last year. And it was a bit of a slow start for him. But, no, I thought it was kind of interesting, too, that when he was asked about defensive tackle rotation, he did name Hero Canoe, Jason Moore, Katie McDonald, and Will Smith before he said Tywan Malone's name. Now, again, that's maybe parsing his words a little too much. But I do think they're looking for more out of Tywan. And that's, frankly, in my opinion, like just from my expectations, it's taking a little longer than I thought. Like, I think I was alone, but thinking that he was going to show up here and like maybe be an immediate impact player. I think it's okay that it hasn't happened, but I think it probably like needs to happen. Like toward the end of spring, I think you want to start hearing some things about him like really showing up in practice.
It felt like maybe we're going to get our way on Saturday and not watch JT and Jack just wreck the scrimmage.
Yeah, for sure. Thankfully, because that just wouldn't be instructive, right? I mean, it'd be fun to watch them play and like get after it, but it's like, what are we learning really about the defensive line and what are we learning about the offensive line when that happens? So, no, it sounds like we're going to see a whole lot of Kenyatta and Caden and Mitchell Melton and Josh Mickens too. Like Larry was sure to mention them. And then obviously all the tackles. I would imagine in live scrimmage settings we maybe won't see any of Jack and JT, which is okay with me.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of work after practice because I don't think they need to get a ton of it during these sessions. But we'll see when we get a closer look on that on Saturday. We'll also, of course, as I always am, be watching the tight ends. Bill, what do you make of the big picture takeaways there from Keenan Bailey?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot there. Like, Keenan Bailey was sort of intentionally vague, I think, about just, like, what's going on in this room. And I think that is a product of just, like, everyone needs to get better, right? And the one thing he did say is, like, we're not looking for someone to beat Cade Stover. Like, Cade had a special season. He was a special player. Maybe there's not a Cade Stover in the tight end room this year that has that total package of skill and leadership and mentality and toughness and everything you're looking for. So then it becomes less about like trying to find that one individual and making the entire room as a whole better. I think G. Scott included, although it did feel like G was like maybe a little separated from the rest of the guys there, which is kind of the vibe we got last week too from Ryan Day. So I thought it was similar vibes to kind of what you let people know last week when you bumped into Keenan and asked him how it was going, and he wasn't his normal, like, you know, sunshine and rainbow self, maybe.
Yeah.
He's a little more in the mud, I think, trying to make sure this group is getting to where it needs to be.
Yeah. But he is, you can clearly see, fully invested in getting them up to speed as fast as possible. He sat down, and, like, he could barely talk, which, yeah, again, is out of character for him. Out of all the coaches on the staff, I think he'd be one of the least likely ones that you think about just a pure yeller and screamer and come off the field without any voice. Like, Justin Fry is at the top of that list, and Keenan Bailey would probably be somewhere near the bottom. But he's pushing that, and I think that his group is accepting of that challenge. Like, Will Kaczmarek was one of, if not the last person to leave the practice field, throwing and catching with all three of the top quarterbacks there for at least half an hour, yep, after practice on Tuesday. So I don't think that after six practices you can say, well, Will Kaczmarek can't become Cade Stover. Maybe he can't. But I do think that to think at this point that he wouldn't become the top tight end is a little premature. It is a difficult transition, no matter how many times people say that they're expecting it to be easy or they believe that they belong. Going from the MAC to practicing against, and Keenan used this example of blocking for a couple reps against JT and Jack and then trying to win a route against Caleb Downs or Lathan Ransom. Like, that, you don't have to do that on every single down when you're practicing in Ohio, obviously, or, yeah, playing in the MAC on a weekly basis. So there is part of that that you have to become more familiar with. I know the consistency word is cliche at that point, but like, there's confidence that comes along with that. Even if you have the self-belief in your athleticism and your size, attributes, skill, everything, being able to do that at the level that Ohio State needs for you to be the top tight end is not something that you just snap your fingers and immediately do. So the outlook, the potential, the belief from Keenan Bailey, I think, and the coaching staff that Will Kaczmarek can become that has not changed after six practices, but they also are not in a position where, whether that's with him or Jelani Thurman, that you say, well, no worries, We're going to get replace Cade Stover and Jeremy Ruckert and Luke Farrell's production, no problem. Like, we got that right now. They are not at that point after six practices, which is fine that they're not.
Yeah.
But that is the current state of the situation.
It's okay. They're half, not even halfway through yet, right? So they have time and then all summer to figure it out, too. We tend to, like, overlook the period between spring ball and, like, camp. Mm-hmm. But there's, like, some good work that gets done there, like, it was especially, like, one-on-one technique stuff that I think will pay dividends.
We should get to cover that.
We should get to cover that. I'd love to cover that. But I think for a tight end in particular, I think, like, it's a huge time of year for offensive line tight end. So I'm expecting that this group, if it's not where it needs to be at the end of spring ball, and frankly, at this point, I'm not expecting them to be, they certainly could be by the time fall camp rolls around, and that is what's more important. But it wasn't like, I don't know that I, like, listened to Keenan Bailey talk and then thought to myself, like, uh-oh. They're not. They got a problem here. Like, I don't think they're quite there. I think part of it is, like, there's so much about this roster that's, like, ready to rock. And it's like, you don't want to be the position coach people point to. It's like, your guys weren't good enough. Sorry. Like, you weren't up to snuff. And, like, I'm not saying that because it's the reality, but that's probably, like, the driving force, I think, behind Keenan Bailey. Maybe, I don't know, coaching them harder or being, I don't know, not as forthright with his praise of the position group, perhaps, than he would be otherwise.
It's a different dynamic. You look back at the last dozen years for Ohio State at tight end, and there's always been, whether they had a ton of production or, you know, caught a bunch of balls or not, you had a veteran and the next guy coming behind. Even if, like, think about Jeff Heuermann and then Nick Vinette is right behind him, and they were stacked one after the other. There's been a brief interruption here, in the post Jeremy Ruckert, then Cade Stover transition at tight end, where G. Scott is the most proven guy, the most veteran guy, and we've spent every spring talking about him, making the move over from wide receiver and becoming a better blocker. Like, it's not the heir apparent taking the torch right from that next guy. And so there is a part of that, too, that I think has to change the leadership in the room and put more of that on Keenan Bailey to take it, because Cade Stover is not there, one of the best captains, blocko guys that you're ever going to see around the program. So, you know, that's a different dynamic in the room. It's a different dynamic for coaching. Keenan Bailey, I asked him about that in that setting. He's like, well, I hope it doesn't change the way I coach, but, you know, it is, like, overall a very different challenge than Ohio State has had at tight end in a long time.
Yeah, and a challenge for a guy who's in the second year of being a position coach. I know Keenan Bailey's been around here a long time and has been, like, a de facto position coach at times, but this is a different beast to handle. It's going to show us a lot, I think, about kind of what he's all about, right? One way or the other, I suppose, not to put too much on it, but it is a big offseason for him, I think, to make sure that this group does get to where it needs to be. I do think still that they have the pieces they need. I liked hearing that Bennett Christian, like, got better over the course of last year, even though he wasn't playing. Something I hadn't really considered was that because he wasn't playing on Saturdays and he was just practicing during the week, like, they kind of just threw him down on scout team, and you're on scout team, you're going up against Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau every day. So I would imagine you're either going to get
Sounds
run
fun.
Over, you're either going to get better or get run over. So
and he's still standing.
And he's still here. So that was good to hear. And I don't know. I didn't have a chance to follow up on that because I kind of left Keenan to go listen to Larry talk. Mm-hmm. But how that's, like, helped him now in this spring. But clearly I think that Keenan Bailey seems to believe that Bennett Christian is a better football player now than he was this time last year, which is kind of all you can ask for.
Yeah, he said he gave him a ton of credit for that, not only because of the work that he had to do on the scout team, but that he was willing to do it. Mm-hmm. He could have left. He could have been suspended and thought, well, I'm not going to be appreciated here. I don't want to do the work for no reason and take off, and he did not do that. So I think that's another good sign for the overall health of that unit. But, you know, there's another half of spring camp to go, and then all the summer, as you said, and training camp before they can maybe – get to that level that we've come to expect for the Ohio State tight ends. We think the defensive linemen are going to be there already. They've got two thumbs up here. That's a snap judgment. It's brought to you by Byers Auto. Thanks for joining us on the podcast again. We'll have a lot more, of course, coming throughout the week, the podcast daily tomorrow. We'll be back in the Woody on Thursday to talk to some players, all building up to that big Student Appreciation Day extravaganza on Saturday. So thanks again. For Bill Landis, I'm Austin Ward. We'll see you later.